And we'll look into the Word of God, Luke chapter 5, and I will read here in Luke 5. We're going to look at verse 1, and let's look at that together today. Let's pray first. Our Father and our God, Lord, we need your Spirit to calm our hearts, to focus us, and to help us to receive spiritual truth. Lord, we know that the Spirit of God can open hearts and help us to receive your truth. God, give us, we pray, what we need, and help us to respond from our heart to do what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to look with me in verse 1 of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." You know, that's a good thing when people want to hear the word of God. I thank God when you want to hear the word of God. If you want to hear the word of God, that's because God touched your heart to hear the word of God. The Bible says we don't normally love the word of God. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But if you want to hear the word of God, that is really good. And when Jesus was here, he preached the word of God and people pressed in to hear him. You know what? I want to have the kind of church that is not the church I talked about this morning, an idol worshiping church, not the kind of church I talked about that has rock bands at the center of their church, not the kind of church that goes along with the sins of the world and tells people to live in sin and they're fine, they're welcome. No, we want a church where people get saved through faith in Jesus and they want to hear the word of God. And are you that kind of a Christian? Are you in the Word of God? And are you coming to church to hear the Word of God? You know, the Bible says in Revelation, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "says to the church." Well, how's the Holy Spirit going to speak to you? Well, it's not an audible voice. It's through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The Bible says in the New Testament, when people got saved, they got baptized right away. If you got saved, you ought to come forward and get baptized. If you're not saved, you ought to put your faith in Jesus to save you. But when they got saved and baptized, it says they continued, listen to me, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What's doctrine? That's Bible teaching, the Word of God. And they continued steadfastly in the Word of God and in fellowship, and that's soul winning, and then breaking of bread, that's worship, the Lord's table, and in prayers, that's prayer meeting. And so I encourage you to get saved and then get baptized, get in a Bible-believing church, and get in the Word of God. And these people were pressing to hear the Word of God. And the Bible says, look at verse 2. It says, "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Now, this Lake Gennesaret is a freshwater lake. It's called the Sea of Galilee, but there's no salt water. I swam in it. I went on a boat in it when I went to Israel. And it's a real lake, and that's where Jesus had his ministry here in Galilee. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. Now, listen, Jesus is going to teach us a lesson by going to these fishermen. Some of these fishermen, he called to himself to believe on him, and then they became his disciples. And listen to me, they were training to have leadership positions. They were going to be apostles, and that meant that they would be missionaries and have special sign gifts, and they would lead the early church. And so Jesus is getting these individuals, and he wants to teach them a lesson. Now, what's their business? Does anybody know what their business was here, their professional business, what their business was? It was they were professional fishermen. That meant that if they did not catch fish, they were failures. If they did not catch fish, their family would be starving and they couldn't have any food for their family. And what Jesus is trying to tell these men who had been saved and who were in the fishing business and catching fish and selling those fish. By the way, when I went to the Sea of Galilee, they had restaurants. You could buy fish with the eyes in them, you know, and eat them, or the eyes out of them, you know. And they had these restaurants and you still catch these fish in there, and these guys live off of fishing. If people don't catch fish, they fail. Their business fails. They go out of business. And here's what the Lord is telling these disciples of his. You guys are in the fishing business. You guys are in the fishing business, but I am going to put you in my business. And his business is not fishing for fish, it's fishing for what? Men, people. And what the Lord wanted to show them by bringing them to this place, he wanted to show them that your business was the fishing business, but now I want you to go full-time in the ministry, and that is to get people saved. If we don't have people saved in this church, we're a failure. If we don't have the business of catching people, we're a failure. And so today I want to talk to you about this message: you must be about your Father's business. Who said that? You must be about my... Jesus said that. Remember, his mother and father went to find out why he didn't go with them after the Passover. And he was at the temple and he was talking to the leaders about the Bible. And he said, "Didn't you know, Mom? I must be about my Father's business." He's talking about God's business. And you know what? He said to his disciples, and they were going to get food. They went to get a big order of gumbo, you know, and they were eating the gumbo. He said, "Listen, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And what's the Father's business? The Father's business is not the fishing business where you catch a bunch of fish. That's important if you're going to make money and live. But you got to catch people. And in other words, if you're in a church, the job of this church is fishing for men business. And I tell you, a lot of churches aren't doing it. A lot of churches aren't doing it. We are a Bible-believing church, but notice what it says in verse 2. It says, "He saw two ships, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing their nets." You know what the nets stand for in God's fishing business? That is giving people the gospel. And when you throw the net out and you draw it back in, they catch the fish. You're never going to catch men for Jesus if you don't go out and tell them the gospel. I went with a guy a Thursday night from our church, and we went out together, and he asked this lady two spiritual questions. She was the dental assistant of where I go to the dentist. And we went to her house on West Scranton, and she and her daughter were there, and she came to the door, and we gave her the gospel. We threw the net out, and then we drew it back in and invited her to trust Jesus. She did. She came to Sunday school this morning. Another step forward. And I'm just saying to you, you're not going to get people. We have... people come to this church, and people say, why did you come? Well, we had a good dinner. No, we had 120 some last week. We had the same amount. It was nothing different. I'm just saying to you that we have people, when we give the gospel to people and draw that net in, people will get saved. It's not how good you are, it's how good a net you have. And that's why they washed their nets. They wanted to make sure they were giving the gospel. The guy I went out with, he said, "Pastor, we just got to lead that lady to the Lord." He said, "But you know what? I went to a birthday party in my family, and I took a church tract, and I gave a person a tract. I took a tract, and we read, 'All men are sinners,' Romans 3:23. He said, "We read, 'There's a price for sin,' Romans 6:23. I had them read it, and I explained it, and I read it. And then we went down, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I had them read it. It was a lady, and I read it. And then it says, "If you receive Christ by faith, you'll be saved." And it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you call upon Jesus to save you, and he will take your sins, and he will give you himself, and you'll be his child. And would you like to pray to receive Christ? And he went through that whole thing. I'm saying that is what you need to do. You need to wash your net. When you come to church, you need to wash your net. What does that mean? You need to be prepared to throw out the gospel to people. Hey, today we were downstairs eating, and I met a man from Wilkes-Barre, Hanover. And I went through the gospel with him, and he prayed to receive Christ. I'm just saying, my friends, you need to be throwing out the net. You know, the song, throw out the lifeline. You never know when you're going to get. You say, when should I do it? In season, out of season. Do it the winter. Do it the summer. Do it the spring. Do it the fall. You know, you can only plant a garden around here late May, right? Or somewhere in there. But you can plant the Word of God in somebody's heart now and anytime, right? In the middle of January, I don't care. And so I want to talk to you this morning that you must be about your Father's business, and that is a fishing business, fishing for men. And look at Luke 5, verse 3. I want to read that now. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people, notice this, out of the ship. Now, Simon had a fishing boat. He had a fishing business. Why do you think he went to Simon? Why not somebody else? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Simon was going to be the leader of the apostles, and after James was martyred, James the apostle, Simon became the first head pastor of the Jerusalem church. Later on, James, the brother of our Lord, became the next, I believe, was head pastor. But Peter was the head of the fishing business called the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. In other words, every Baptist church, we should be in the fishing business. Amen? And every one of us should have part fishing for men. Now, Peter had two names, Simon and Peter. Notice here it calls him Simon. Can one of the men tell me, why do you think it calls him Simon here and not Peter? Why the Lord had named him Peter. Why would he call him Simon and not Peter?
Simon was his old man or nature?
Yes, thank you, Jose. Simon was his old nature. And Peter was into fishing. He wasn't into fishing for men. He wasn't into getting men saved. In fact, when this miracle happened, the Lord taught him that your fishing business is a picture of what your church is supposed to be. And that's what the Jerusalem church became, you see. And Simon, after the Lord's resurrection, he backslid. Remember that? He was so discouraged because he denied the Lord three times. And now he said, I'm going fishing. And guess what? He was a leader, so seven of the apostles were all involved there, and they were back in fishing. Well, the Lord didn't want him to go back to fishing business after he died and rose again. He wanted him to have the fishing business of the church. And Peter was leading the guys to backslide with him. And so the Lord showed up again and helped him catch 153 big, huge fish. And it was trying to make the point. And so I'm just saying to you, you've got an old nature. And you've got an old name, but you've got a new name. And God wants you to live up to your new name. And you say, well, what's that all about? He wants you to be about your Savior's business. I went out Saturday, which was yesterday, and I knocked on doors. And Matt's bus route, I was knocking on doors. And do you know, it was such a beautiful day. It was almost 60 degrees. How many liked yesterday? It was a beautiful day. And I was out there. And do you know what? God gave me six different people who I gave the net to and pulled it in. And they prayed to receive Christ. They prayed to receive Christ. Six different people Saturday. You know, I said to the Lord, I was all alone, but I wasn't alone. I said, Lord, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm just enjoying this, you know. And so how about you? You could get a track. You could hand somebody a track. You could say, read number one. They read it. You talk about it. Read number two. You could, if you're saved and baptized, a member of the church, God wants you fishing. And you could do that. And then you could invite them to come out. And you could be about your Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus said, I have meat to eat or food to eat that ye know not of. And you need to join in with what the Lord was trying to teach Simon, so that he would become Peter and a leader for God. And God's got you here, I believe, for that very reason. And so I want to just say two things about you must be about your Savior's business. And the first one is in verse 4 through 10. Look at Luke 5, 4 through 10, and we'll read verse 4 first of all. Jesus said to Peter, or Simon at this point, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, he's teaching him a spiritual lesson. He's teaching him, okay, you're going to catch a bunch of fish, Peter, but in order to catch fish, the first thing you have to do is you got to get away from the dock. You got to get away from the shore. You got to go out into the lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. That's where the big fish are. And you know what? If you're going to see people get saved, you got to go away from the church and go out there into the world and take your message out there. Bring your net out there. Throw the gospel out there to people that are out there in the world, and that's how you catch fish. So you have to launch out. A lot of Christians aren't doing that. They share things in church, but they don't go out and give the gospel with the world out there. But then he said, let down your nets. You know what? Nets are plural. Nets are plural. Now, Peter only let down one net. He said, Lord, I fished all night. We didn't catch anything. He said, but I'm going to, at your word, I'll let down. And he only let down one net. Now, what did that tell you? He didn't really believe that anything would happen. He really didn't believe that he would catch a bunch of fish. The Lord said, you're going to catch a draught. That means a big bunch of fish. It's going to fill your nets, all your nets. Now, what do the nets stand for? It's all the different ways we give the gospel at different times. We have once a week on Thursday. You could give it then. We have Saturday, busment. You could give it then. But you could give it any time through the week. And when you see people, and that's what the Lord wants, plural. He wants, and I heard Marilla was going out with Miss Diane on Saturday, and I heard Matt was going out on Saturday, and I was going out, and different people going out, and then through the week, and so many different opportunities. Well, what is that? We're throwing out the nets. I just don't want to throw out a net once in a while. I want to throw out the nets. And then when you do, he said, you will catch a whole lot of fish. How come? The Lord will bless that. And are we doing that? Are you doing that? Are you throwing out nets? Are you giving the gospel? And you must be about your Father's business. That's what the Bible said. All right, now let's see the result of when he did what God said, even though he didn't do it fully. Look what it says. He only threw in one net. It says, and when they had this done, they enclosed, verse 6, a great deal, a multitude of fishes, and their net break. And it says, their net actually broke. And what did they do? And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. You know what I found out? When you are doing what the Lord said, He wants to bless you. And He will give you people that will come to Christ. And when that happens, He will give you partners that will help you. Peter needed help. He just had so many. He needed help. We need help to get buses on the road. And guess what? God raises up people that they give money to help us. They're partners. We have people that need to pray. I have a guy that prays for me every Sunday. He's a preacher. He's from Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church. He preaches all over the country. He always texts me. Says, I'm praying for you for the power of God. And that's a partner, you know. We have people that give in other places. They give money to help this work going, because it takes money to run the buses and turn on the lights and do the soul-winning missions work that we do. I'm saying that if you will be obedient to the Lord, He will bless you. And I believe He'll take care of your bills, because you're doing His business. He'll take care of your business. A lot of people, their businesses don't prosper because they don't put God first. They don't put, if they do go to church, they don't put the business of fishing for men first. It's not important to them. And I want to say, if you're here today, the Lord wants you to know that He died and rose again so that you could have your sins paid for, and He invites you to accept Him as Savior by faith, to receive Him by faith and to be saved. I was saved at 17, and then I got baptized, and then I joined a church, and I served the Lord. God said you can do that as a teenager. You don't have to wait till you're 21, 22, till you're over the hill and you're 25. No, you could. In fact, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Get saved now because you don't know what's going to happen to you. You could be dead. I just talked to Brother Bruce. He had a relative, died in his sleep, only in his 40s. Died in his sleep. You don't know. There's a thousand ways to die. And God says, I'm giving you an opportunity now to accept a free gift. But if you don't accept it, only one thing that keeps you out of hell, only one thing that keeps your heart beating if you're 12 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, and that is the grace of God. At any time, you could drop out of your body and you drop right into hell unless you have planted both feet on Jesus and been saved. And he invites you, and that's drawing in the net, by the way. He invites you to be saved. And maybe you didn't plan to get saved, but when the net comes, it's time. It's time. And so that's what it says. Now what happened to Peter when that happened? The partners came, the net was filled, the ship began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now listen, when God does something in your life that you can't explain, but you know it's God that's doing it, sometimes you just want to get away from it. You know why Peter wanted to get away from it? Because he was being Simon. He was feeling like, oh, I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. But if you're born again, you're not just the old Simon, you're the new Peter. Peter means rock. The Lord has a plan for your life, and he is able to bless you if you'll surrender to let him work through you. And so that's what was happening here. But I want you to notice, our message is you must be about your Father's business. And the first point is by your astonishment. And look what it says after verse 8 and verse 9. It says, for he, Peter, was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. You see, God wants you to be astonished at what he can do in your life. You say, how can God use me? You just get saved, baptized, get in the church, start getting in the Word, and you'll be astonished if you surrender to throw in the gospel net how much he can use you. You know, Awilda's here, and her son Christian went out with my youth pastor on Thursday night. He goes out every Thursday night soul winning. So does Marilla's son go with me, Eric. And but Christian, Awilda's son, he went out with Eric Zukowski, my youth pastor. Got so many Erics. So he went out with him, and Christian asked the two questions that we teach people to ask. And he asked them, and then he looked at Eric, the youth pastor. He goes, okay, you can take it from here. My partner will take it from here. And Eric goes, so he went on some more to go into man is a sinner and there's a price for sin. And he goes, get to the end. He said, he'll take it from here. He goes. And then he got down to where the guy would pray to receive Christ. And he says, he'll take it from here. And he goes. And he led the guy to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that's how it goes, a little at a time. And then you can lead, and that was the first person that Ewilda's son, at least in recent history, led somebody to the Lord. Of course, he got really saved here just a few weeks back or months back in this service through the Word of God. Perhaps you're here and you're not really saved. You've heard me preach a lot of times, but you know what you need? You need to hear Jesus. And Jesus is calling you this morning. And he's saying, listen, Simon, or whatever your old name is, I want to make you new. I want to make you a new person. And you say, what do I need to do to become new? You just come to him as you are, dirty, filthy, sinful, and he'll wash you in his blood. He'll wash you and make you new, and he'll make you so you can be in the fishing business of catching people and getting them saved through the net of the gospel. And listen, you'll be astonished of what he can do. And Peter had astonishment, and we've had days of astonishment of what the Lord can do in and through our lives. But I want to say one more thing. You must be about your Father's business by your astonishment and letting the Lord use you and astonishing you. But number two, by your abandonment. Look what it says in verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You see, what did they do? They were in the fishing business, but now they were astonished of this new business of catching men with the message of Jesus. And they said, we're going to leave our old business. And they became apostles, pastors, missionaries, evangelists. They got into leading a business for catching men. And that's what the church business is all about. Are you about your Father's business? Is this church about the Father's business? We're not just here to meet, to eat, and then retreat. No, we're here meet, eat, and march on the gates of hell and get out in the boat, launch out in the deep, let down our nets and bring them in, and then bring the fish with us, the people that God gives us. Now, I'll conclude with this. There was a guy, he was a shoe salesman, and he was led to the Lord. This shoe salesman was led to the Lord by, I believe it was by his Sunday school teacher, a man named Kimball. And this guy's name was Dwight Lyman Moody, D.L. Moody. And he was a shoe salesman. Now, Moody got into Sunday school, and he was going to Sunday school. How many of you went to Sunday school? All right, good. And he went to Sunday school, and he had a Sunday school teacher. And if I have the story right, the Sunday school teacher was going to die. He had terminal disease. And he said to Moody, he said, how would you like to help me out, Dwight? I'm going to die, and my students, I'm not sure whether they're going to go to heaven. I'm not sure whether they got saved. And he said, I would like to visit each one of them and tell them I'm going to die very soon, and before I die, I would like to tell them how they can be saved by Jesus. And can you help me? Can you go? Moody said, yeah, I'll go with you. So they went together to the first one, and they told him about they was going to die. And the kid said, I don't want to die, but I'm going to die someday, and I don't want to go to hell. And what must I do to be saved? He said, well, realize you're a sinner and realize that you deserve hell. And put your trust in Jesus to save you and tell him that, and he will save you and come into your life. And so the guy did it. The kid did it, and he was saved. And he went to another one. It happened again, and then it happened again. And finally, he was like, wow, this is tremendous. He said, listen, I don't want to be a shoe salesman anymore. I want to be a preacher and do this all the time. And he became the great Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist that led thousands to Jesus Christ. You see, it all starts with just you being in the fishing business. And if you do, and you surrender, and you throw in the nets of the gospel, you'll be astonished at what God will do. And then if you do it, you will not only abandon yourself to it, but you'll get other people to really get into it. And that's what we need. Not just to get our big toe in the water, we need to dive in to being in our Father's business. And if you're not, if you haven't really gotten into it fully, I want to invite you to do that today. And if you've never really trusted Jesus, I want you to invite you to do that. If you have trusted the Lord and you have never been baptized, I want to invite you today to get baptized. All right? I'm going to ask that we bow for prayer. Every head please bow and every eye closed. And I want to ask you a question. In one of those areas, how about it? If you're ready to get saved, now is the time, Jesus said. Tell him, Lord, I know you're speaking my name, that I am a sinner, and I'm coming to you to save me, Lord. Save me and take my sin and wash me clean. Wash me clean, Lord. Would you do it today? You're here today. You've been saved. You pray to receive Christ, but you haven't gotten dunked under the water to show your new life in Christ. And today, say, Lord, I'm willing to get baptized. I'm gonna do it. Perhaps you're here today and you're saved, you're baptized, you're a member of the church, but you're not taking tracts with you. You're not ready when opportunities come. You're not really abandoned into it. You haven't seen God do astonishing things because you're not really available. But today, I wonder if you'll say, Lord, this message is for me. I want to be abandoned and to give all to follow Jesus. If any one of those or more than one of those is your decision today, would you raise your right hand? I'll pray for you. Just raise it up high. I want to pray for you to follow through. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to, any one of those decisions, you raise your hand. You need to get baptized. You need to trust Christ. I see that hand. Amen. I'm going to ask that we pray together. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that you would do business in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray for some to abandon themselves to your will and to your work. Lord, I pray for others that need to get baptized and haven't been since they've been saved, like Christian did after he got saved in a service. Lord, that they would come and obey your word. And I pray for that, Lord. I pray for somebody that is here and they're not really born again. They're not really saved. But today is the day that you're calling them. Lord, I pray that they would respond to you and believe on your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that we stand, and the invitation is given. You come. I'm down here front. You tell me your decision, or if you can just come to the altar if you want to give your life more to the gospel and to throwing out the net and to getting involved in God's business. The Bible says I must be about my Father's business. You feel free to come and make your way to the altar and say, Lord, I'm making myself available to be fully involved in your will and in your work. Amen? How about it this morning? Have you been saved? Then come and get baptized. If you haven't truly been born again, come to Christ and come and say, Pastor, today is the day I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm coming. I'm coming to make it. I'm coming to make it public. Lord, I'm soul winning, but I'm not doing it like I should. I'm not abandoned to it. I'm just doing a little bit, but I want to get in more fully. Now's the time. Get in and go to that altar and tell the Lord I am truly surrendering more to give the gospel so we can see more people saved, so we can have the Lord's business. The Lord's business is something that we should be about. Jesus said it, I must be about my Father's business, but it's not a priority with many people. I want to challenge you today as we close this afternoon service that you open your heart and say, Lord, you did all for me. You went to that cross. You're all in. I want to be all for you. All right, amen and amen. We have a couple here, just got married, Bacola and Kyle Donovan, and they just came forward. They said, God's been burdening our heart. We want to get involved in the bus ministry. And that is one of the most challenging ministries. Amen. Praise God for that. Wonderful. All right, we're going to pray God's blessing on these decisions this morning, this afternoon now. Father in heaven, we do thank you for being in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And Lord, the reminder that our business is to be fishing for men. And Lord, to be successful in a fishing business, we know they have to catch fish. And Lord, you told us that we should be catching men and that you would give us what we need to do it, Lord. We think of the boats that went out to get them, and that's like the buses. And thank you for the buses we have, and thank you that even more important than buses and boats and all the rest of it are people. And thank you for these, Kyle and Bacola, who've come and said we make ourselves available, not just our money, not just our this or that, but ourself. Lord, bless their commitments and help them give them much fruit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, dessert downstairs. See you downstairs for dessert. Amen. Oh, you want some of these? All right, Katie, you get first. Where's Gianni? Gianni second? And how about Asher? All right. See you down.